If guarding a king is an honor, what kind of greatness is required to guard the church founded by Christ himself? Saint Joseph's title reveals more than we realize. Stay tuned to hear the insights. Ave mundis pes Maria. Welcome to Following Padre Pio. Whether you're joining us for the first time or returning, we're glad you're here. Today's story from Padre Pio's life may inspire you in ways you didn't expect. And if you haven't yet downloaded our new ebook on indulgences, you will find the link in the description below. It will be available until the end of Lent. Tomorrow we celebrate the Solemnity of Saint Joseph. Now, Saint Joseph is honored under many great titles: Head of the Holy Family, Spouse of the Mother of God, Foster Father of the Child Jesus. But today I want to share a powerful reflection by Professor Plinio Correa de Oliveira on one title in particular: Saint Joseph, Protector of the Catholic Church. The professor begins. There are several invocations of Saint Joseph that we should consider. I believe that, among these invocations, after those that refer directly to our Lord Jesus Christ, none is more beautiful than Protector of the Catholic Church. To be the protector of something is, in a certain way, to be a symbol of what one protects. Consider, for example, someone who is a guard of the Queen of England, Elizabeth II. In some way, such a person takes upon himself something of the Queen's royalty. It is an honor to be the guard of the Queen. Those chosen to be guards of the Queen are the most capable individuals. If it is an honor to be a guard of the Queen, if it is an honor to be a guard of the Pope, then what an honor it is to be the guardian of the Holy Catholic Church. With the exception of Our Lady, who is Mother of the Church, no one can be compared to the Catholic Church. No angel, nor all the saints taken each individually, has the dignity of the Catholic Church. For the Church encompasses all the saints, and she is the source of the holiness of those saints. Therefore, a saint can never have a dignity equal to that of the Catholic Church. Imagine then what kind of a saint the patron of the Catholic Church must be. He must be something so lofty, so exalted that, so to speak, he must be a reflection of the church he guards. The professor continues. We can consider that the spiritual stature of Saint Joseph, insomuch as he is co-identical with the spirit of the Catholic Church, as a prototypical and magnificent exemplar of the mentality, the doctrines, the spirit of the Catholic Church, can only be measured by this other criterion: the fact that he is the spouse of Our Lady, and therefore proportionate to Our Lady, that he is the adoptive father of the child Jesus, and therefore proportionate to the child Jesus. If we wish to have an idea of the soul of Saint Joseph, of the spirit of Saint Joseph, we would have to imagine everything we think of the Catholic Church, all the greatness of the Church, all the simplicity of the Church, all the dignity of the Church, all the affability of the Church, all the wisdom of the Church, all the immensity of the Church, and imagine all of this realized in a man. Then we would have the moral physiognomy of Saint Joseph. The professor adds, at the very least, we must imagine the moral profile of this saint, the chastity of Saint Joseph, his most spotless purity. And we should approach him with respect, with veneration, and ask him to grant us what we so greatly desire to receive. And so the professor turns to a practical question. What should we ask of Saint Joseph on his feast? Each person should ask himself, by means of a one-minute examination of conscience, what graces he wishes to ask of Saint Joseph on his feast. The first of the graces to ask would be devotion to Our Lady. Another would be the grace to reflect the spirit of the Catholic Church. We can ask for purity, for selflessness. We can ask for everything. We can choose one of these things or ask for all of them together. Sometimes it is good to ask for one single thing, if grace moves us in that direction. At other times, it is good to ask for many things when grace invites us to be bold. And so tomorrow, on the Feast of Saint Joseph, according to the movement of interior grace in each of us, we should ask something of him. And if we do not know well what to ask of Saint Joseph, we can say to him, "My good Saint Joseph, give me what I need, since I do not even know what is best for me." I believe that, in the highest heaven, he will smile and will grant, with kindness, some very well chosen grace. And with that, the professor concludes, wishing all of you a blessed feast day tomorrow. Thank you for watching. If you enjoyed this video, please like and share to help spread Padre Pio's message. Don't forget to subscribe and click the bell so you never miss our latest uploads. Want to deepen your connection to Padre Pio? Consider becoming a protected child of Padre Pio, a special way to grow spiritually and be part of our prayerful community. You'll find a link to the join page in the description below. Check out the recommended videos on the end screen or the links in the description below for more inspiring content, including our Padre Pio Thoughts for the Day playlist. May Our Lady and Padre Pio bless you, and we'll see you in the next video.